Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Prishthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Dehi Shatarne Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyatav Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sajat Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As presumably you all know, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Bhagavan Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Arjuna specifically because Arjuna was facing a very severe problem in his life, that he was expected to kill people who he loved and some of whom were worshipable by him. Krishna solved Arjuna's problem by explaining to Arjuna that Arjuna had even worse problems than he thought he had, and that everyone in this world has worse problems than we think we have. Generally, we thought, if we think, what are our problems? Not enough money? Everyone thinks that. Some health problems, personal problems with neighbors, workmates and so on. But Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita that our very existence in this material world is a problem from beginning to end. This material world he describes in two words. All the history of the whole world and the future is described by Krishna in two words, summarized. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. This material world is a place of misery, and everything here is temporary. So the problem is that we're trying to be happy in a place where it's not a place of happiness. We're born again and again, we suffer again and again. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. It is intelligent, it is knowledge to see that there is suffering in this world, birth, death, old age and disease. So when we speak of modern problems, definitely there are problems in the modern world which we didn't face previously. But the same basic problems are there. Even if we were to get, what are the modern problems? Well, take a long time even to think of them all. It's practically everything in modern life is a problem. We can list pollution, crime, disparity between of wealth, distrust, Facebook. That was one just mentioned. Immorality. So many problems are prominent in the modern age. But even if we were able to solve all of these, we'd still, even if you live without pollution, even if you live without Facebook, by the way, you won't find me on Facebook. Even if you're able to solve all these problems, you'd still have birth, death, old age and disease, which are very serious problems for everyone. So in some ways, thinking how to solve the problems in modern life is a problem in itself. Because if we're thinking that we'll solve the pollution problem and the immorality problem and this and that, and then having solved all these problems, we'll live very happily in this world, that's the cause of our repeated incarceration in this material world. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gets right down to the basics. Arjuna was thinking, I have this problem. And Krishna gets down to the basics and that we have these problems, birth, death, old age and disease. Repeated suffering in this material world due to a mistaken conception of what is reality. So the idea that we'll solve all our problems, we'll solve all the problems in the modern world and then live happily, that's the same misconception that Arjuna had. That if I could just solve this problem, then I'll live happily. So thinking how to solve the problems of the modern world, that's all very well and very good, but what are our real underlying problems? That is due to forgetfulness of Krishna, due to forgetfulness of our original position, our constitutional position, as Dr. Pai was just saying, our nature is Satchidananda. We are not meant for dying. We are not meant for trying to find solutions. We are not meant to try to be happy. We are automatically, naturally meant to be happy, eternal, and without problems. But due to perceiving ourselves or conceiving of ourselves as enjoyers of this material world rather than servants of Krishna, who is the central point of love for everyone, then we suffer in this material world. So actually we can solve all the problems very easily. if we simply understand that we are not meant to live in this world trying to enjoy it, but that we can be very happy if we simply serve Krishna, because that is our natural position of happiness. Krishna is always happy. If we serve, but that happiness is not the petty happiness of seeing ourselves glorified on Facebook or driving in a motorbike or earning more money than the person next door. This is all petty. Krishna, his happiness is ananda chinmaya rasa. It is spiritual bliss of love, an exchange of love in which there's no motive of exploitation. The material world is a place of exploitation where everyone is trying to get something from everyone else. And modern society has exacerbated that to such an extent that we destroy the earth, we destroy social systems in pursuit of a little sensual pleasure. Krishna addresses all this in some detail in Bhagavad Gita. One reason that Bhagavad Gita has retained its popularity throughout the centuries, we say it's ancient wisdom, but then what is wisdom is wisdom. It doesn't pertain specifically to an ancient time, because it is relevant in every time, place and circumstance. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is popular. It's not popular because, as some people say, it's the Hindu Bible. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't say that, well, you just believe me, what I say. He doesn't say believe or burn. But he addresses Arjuna as an intelligent person. And Arjuna asks intelligent questions. And Krishna answers them in a manner which any intelligent person can understand. So what is the root, what is the cause of suffering in this world? In one verse, Krishna gives an analysis, which, if you think about it, it may not be obvious to us, because we are so much in Maya, we're so much in illusion. But in one verse, Krishna analyzes what is the cause of suffering. The cause of suffering, Krishna says, is the pursuit of happiness, of sensual happiness. Yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyanta vanta kaunte anateshu ramate buddhaha. The desire to be happy that I will enjoy. Let me get nice things to touch, taste, smell, feel, and hear. Let me accumulate objects for my enjoyment. This very mentality is the cause of our suffering. So it doesn't seem obvious to us because we're accustomed to thinking like that. But if we think, we'll see that the desire to enjoy myself leads to the exploitation which creates a whole society of misery, as we see in the modern world. Although there is, you're speaking about some of the paradoxes, although we have so much time for Facebook, but we don't look at the faces of the people all around us. And generally I see everyone's always on their cell phone, but they never talk to anyone next to them. It's always someone remote. We like to keep people at a distance. We feel more comfortable like that. I also don't have a cell phone, by the way. No cell phone, no Facebook. It's better to have real interactions with real people, I always thought. So, as is well known, at least among most of you are from the older generation, so you know, you've heard these things. The younger generation haven't heard it. Gar se kaho hum Hindu hai. Lekin hum Bhagavad Gita ka ek bhi shlok nahi jante. Sharam se kaho. It should be. For those of you who know Hindi. So it's well known, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that the three gates leading to hell are kaam, krodh and lobha. Lust, greed and anger. But we see that the whole of modern society is simply based on kaam, krodh and lobha. The television, which I also don't watch, I used to watch a long time ago, but it simply promotes kaam, krodh and lobha. Any movie, I also don't go to movies, but we're subjected to seeing the cinema posters everywhere, and it's quite clear that lust and violence is the theme of every movie. And then on the TV also, it promotes greed. Buy this, the advertisements. Buy this, buy that, buy something else. If you're not always buying something, people feel there's something wrong with me unless I'm buying. I have to buy new things all the time. I always have to have a new car. I have to have more clothes. I have to buy so many things. So accumulation. So lust, the desire for sexual, particularly for sexual gratification, but for fulfilling all kinds of desire. Lust, greed, accumulation, let me get more and more and more. And anger, unnecessary violence. These are the gates to hell. Tringur, what is that? Tridvaram narakasyedam dvaram nashanam atmanaha kamas krodhas tata lopas tasmat etat trayang tyajet. Trividhang narakasyedam. Krishna says there are three gates to hell: lust, greed and anger. Therefore they should be given up. But we see that the whole basis of modern life is lust, greed and anger. Work, get more money, enjoy, accumulate objects, and one of the problems in modern society is immorality, which particularly the young boys and young girls come together, and with no marriage, no responsibility, they simply get together like cats and dogs do in the street. So this is perceived as a problem. Krishna says these are three gates leading to hell, and therefore modern society is like hell, although it's advertised as heaven. Hell means it should be full of nasty, poisonous smoke instead of good air to breathe. Well, nasty, poisonous air. Indian cities are the most polluted in the world. Mysore's maybe not the worst, but it's bad enough. In Garavi, Gujarat, there's whole areas you can go. It's just this poisonous smell is there 24 hours a day from factories. So people may think, well, this is progress. But people are being poisoned at every moment. You can't live in a city with increasingly in India and definitely in many cities in the West. It's dangerous to walk the streets. It's in certain parts of the city, particularly. Where I'm from, London in England, we have our ISKCON, Radha Krishna Temple, right in the heart of London, right off Oxford Street. So it's quite common to hear screaming and shouting at night. One morning after Mangalarti, 5 o'clock in the morning, I went outside and there was blood and broken bottles outside. Just a normal night in London. People drink, they fight. Normal. This is hell, hellish condition. What is the solution to all these problems? What does Bhagavad Gita suggest? What does Krishna say? Well, there's one verse in Bhagavad Gita in which Krishna states the basis of human society. What is the basis? What is the most basic thing? Food. And food, although there are food processing factories, but food is not produced in factories. You can process it. But food comes how? Anadbhavanti bhutani parjanyadana sambhavaha. Food comes from rain. Rain is necessary. Yagya bhavati parajanyo, yagya karma samudbhavaha. And rain comes, regulated rain comes from yagya, sacrifice. And sacrifice is possible when people follow their prescribed karmas, when they follow dharma. So if dharma is in order, then everything else will be in order. And although we may see scientifically there's the ozone layer has been depleted and the whole ecological balance is disturbed, that's a modern or scientific perspective on looking at the disparities or the irregularities in human society. But Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that dharma has to be followed, and then automatically everything else will follow. Food will be there, peace of mind will be there, good character will be there. The basic problems are the same, birth, death, old age and disease, but human life is meant, this human life which is attained very rarely after many births, is meant for getting free from birth, death, old age and disease, but it's very difficult to do so in a society, the modern society, which covers up the actual purpose of life. Instead of teaching people that human life is meant for God realization, they teach us that human life is meant for earning money so that you can enjoy yourself. And what is enjoyment? Looking at some mobile phone or some other gadget, getting different gadgets, and that's enjoyment. So solving the problems of modern society, that's one perspective, but modern society itself is a problem, beginning to end, top to bottom, inside out, upside down, any way you look at it. The whole focus of modern society is to making people into sophisticated animals. Animals are interested in what? Ahara nidra bhai maitu. Eating, sleeping, fear, which translates as fighting, and sex. So that's there in human society also. Ahara nidra bhaya maitu namcha samana metat pashubhya narana. Humans and animals both eat, sleep, mate and defend. So what's the difference between a human and an animal? That a human does it in a very... And a dog barks and a human has a missile with a bomb which can kill hundreds of thousands of people and whatever, dogs might be around also. Is that advancement, that we're sophisticated animals? Or that we have pornographic movies? Maybe there are now people like it in India, they like to have pet dogs. Maybe they'd like to have make pornographic movies for dogs. So, you know, sophistication. We have become sophisticated animals. What is the difference between a human and an animal? The difference should be dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesham. A human can inquire into the meaning of life. A human can live a life according to dharma. A human can lead a life in which he can purify consciousness and in this way become free from birth, death, old age and disease. Therefore, dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. A human being without dharma is just an animal with two legs, that's all. Animal plus dharma equals human. So, human minus dharma equals animal. It's simple arithmetic. So what we've got in the modern life is under the titles of progress, development, a society of sophisticated animals in which people in general don't even think what are the real problems of life. From the beginning of life practically, we are trained to think that life is simply meant for getting money and enjoying ourselves with no higher motive than that. And even in what goes on in the name of religion, although they speak of love, but in many cases it seems to be more manifestations of hate toward others, with no actual spiritual knowledge, just believe in something or other, blind faith. So religion in the modern world it's also a problem. The way that religion is being promoted in the modern world is a problem. It's not the way that Krishna promotes or teaches Arjuna. Krishna doesn't teach Arjuna to become a Hindu, but to understand what is our existential position, what are the actual problems facing us, and how to solve them. So the actual problem is identification with this material world and attempting to enjoy it. Solution to that problem is purification of consciousness, which comes, first of all, we should understand what purification of consciousness means. That means to understand that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, very tiny jivas. This is Bhagavad Gita. Mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. We are all eternal parts of Krishna. And simply forgetting that is the cause of all our problems. Now, to revive that consciousness may take many births, although it's possible to do so quickly. But we require to live in a civilization which fosters that consciousness. The main problem in modern civilization, there are so many problems, but the main problem is this lack of this consciousness, of understanding who we actually are and how we can be satisfied. Just like our position is something like a fish out of water. If you take a fish out of water, you can never be satisfied. Whatever you can give here, you offer him $1 million. What will $1 million do to a fish, even in the water? You can offer the fish out of water the most beautiful Miss Fish. But he won't be happy until he gets in the water. So in our position is like that. We're in this world, but we don't belong in it. We don't belong in a place where we have to suffer repeated birth, death, old age and disease. The problem is being in this world. Krishna teaches us to come out of this world. We don't belong here. So, what are the some specific problems of modern life? Let's see how they can be solved. Actually, our guru, Srila Prabhupada, he was very concerned with this. He wasn't simply talking as many gurus do, they simply speak peace, love, and just some nice sounding terms, but unless we have some practical program, it's just some vagueness. So Srila Prabhupada, he was concerned with the problems of the world. He passed from this world in 1977. In the approximately 73, 74, there was for the first time what they called a petrol crisis. So what is the solution to the petrol crisis? When he was asked that, he said, don't use petrol. So you may think, alternative fuels. But he said, no, you don't have to go anywhere. There's no need to go anywhere. Whatever we need, food, clothing, shelter, roti, kapra, makan, by the grace of God, that can be produced locally anywhere in the world. And people all over the world lived like that for millions of years, and they didn't have any need for motor cars or space satellites or Facebook. People were living without all that. And the modern propaganda is that people were primitive in the past. But when we see Vyasadeva, the literature that he produced, he doesn't seem like a caveman. The language of the scholars of India, Sanskritum, is the most sophisticated language in the world, which is too difficult for most people nowadays because people are stupid. They're more stupid than they were previously. The philosophy which pandits and acharyas have given, what Madhvacharya has given, it's very difficult for people to understand because people have such a simplistic intelligence in the modern age, just something like an animal, you see. That looks good, I want it. That sounds good, I want it. But lack of this subtle intelligence, that term in Kannada, pragya, is used for consciousness. It translates the English word consciousness. But it has the English word consciousness, which means awareness. The Sanskrit word, which is used in Kannada, pragya, it has much more profound meaning than that of simply awareness. But it pragya. Gya means knowledge, and pra means it's an intensifier, or it means similar to vi, vishesha. So it means a special platform of awareness, an awareness of reality, not simply the English term consciousness, with a general awareness, but specific awareness of the nature of reality. So the idea that previously people were very primitive and now we are very advanced, this is a major problem, that people think that in the past everyone was all stupid, they didn't have free sex, they didn't have abortions, and they didn't have Facebook or iPods, and therefore they were all stupid. But people were intelligent, but they were intelligent enough not to put their endeavors into that which is temporary. We see that all over India. We just came from Srirangapatnam. We visited the temples there. Sri Ranganatha Swami, Adi Rangam, and Lakshmi Narasimha Temple. We can see that the endeavor of the intelligent people, the leaders of society, the talented artists of this country in the past was for creating permanent structures of worship of God for the upliftment of the consciousness of human society. Permanent means, of course, nothing in this world is permanent, but those temples have been there for hundreds of years and they're built to last for many more hundreds of years. So people, it's not that they were not intelligent. To build temples like that is not the sign of unintelligent people. But they were more intelligent in that they focused their intelligence onto that which is of the highest level of consciousness. Worship of God, worship of Krishna. And Krishna inspired them to make such beautiful temples. And traditionally in the temples there would be prayers recited, which again composed in beautiful Sanskrit for glorification of the Supreme Lord. So it's not that people were not intelligent, but they didn't put their intelligence into something which simply gives us some very fleeting titillation of the senses and then is forgotten. Just like you go to see a movie, no doubt it takes great intelligence of some kind or other to produce a movie, however unintelligent the storyline may be, but it requires some technology and some kind of intelligence to write a plot which is slightly different from all the other movies, and to make some songs which are just different enough so you can't get done for copyright. So some intelligence is required, but what use of intelligence is there to make some movie in which the main thing is just the same thing as the animals are doing, which is male is chasing a female is chasing a male, and then when someone else gets in the way, then they have a big fight. And what is that? That's dragging the consciousness down. So this is the real problem in modern society, is that the consciousness is, instead of elevating the consciousness, the leaders of society should be elevating the consciousness so that people can understand who are we, what is our eternal position, how to get free from the real problems of birth, death, old age and disease. They've dragged our consciousness down to simply thinking that we have to work all our lives and earn money so that we can engage in petty, sensual pleasures. So we think we'll be happy if I get a new fancy mobile. And where is the happiness there? There's no happiness, but it's advertised. By advertising, they're advertising that you will be better, you will be happy by getting this and that. So we're all fooled in modern society into thinking that this society is progressive, advanced, developed, and in the past people were all stupid. That's bogus propaganda. So yeah, the petrol problem. What is the solution to the petrol problem? You don't need to go. You don't need to run around here and there. Just sit in one place, grow your own food, live peacefully, and perform the sadhana, the spiritual activities by which our consciousness is elevated and we don't have to take birth again. That's the solution to the petrol problem. We don't need to dig up the earth and pollute the earth and bring oil from one country to another. Not necessary. The whole of modern society runs on oil, but it's not going to last. And then what? And then try to make something different and some not required. Here are fans. All right, that's nice. Cools us down. Previously, people had hand fans. And it was hot and people tolerated. This fan is very convenient, but to get that fan, you have to dig up the earth, build factories, and then you have to generate the electricity, and you have to work hard to produce the money to pay the bill. And in the end, you're considering that the actual purpose of life is to cultivate the consciousness by which we can get free from birth and death. All of this is a diversion from the actual purpose of life. So Srila Prabhupada, our guru, he recommended going back to a simpler way of life, which, of course, Mahatma Gandhi also taught that. But no one cares. They celebrate Gandhi Jayanti once a year, and even on that day, they don't consider what he actually wanted to teach, what he wanted to bring in. So his ideas of village-based society, Srila Prabhupada, he also taught that. That's for social organization. Then there's so many problems which we have in modern society. We're not saying that all the problems will go away, because this world is the world of problems. We can't expect that there won't be any problems. But we don't need to live in a society that simply, in the name of progress, creates more and more and more problems by promoting the illusion that we can be happy by having more and more and more objects. So this we learned from Srila Prabhupada on the basis of Bhagavad Gita. And practically, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to demonstrate this by having ideal, simple rural communities in which people can live simply and peacefully and chant Hare Krishna and study Bhagavad Gita, which many people, even today, they would like to lead a more spiritual life, but the demands of modern society are such that they don't have time, because to perform sadhana requires time. Of course, those who are sannyasis, they have time for that, but sadhana is also meant for grihasthas, married people. Traditionally, here in India, everyone would start the day with some puja, or paath, or dhyan, or japa, early in the morning. Nowadays, no one gets up early in the morning, unless they have an early morning shift. Everyone's up late watching TV. They get up late, which makes everyone a rakshasa. You'll find in Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, the word for rakshasa is nishacha, those who stay awake at night and sleep in the day. So people get up late, and then they rush off to work. And even those who are spiritually inclined, because they have to work. Oh, and what else do they do? Work. And while they're working, especially the IT professional, they're working and someone brings them a hot dog or something, and with one hand they're still going on like that. And then when they fall asleep at the screen, they cut them off and then wake them up after 5 hours and then get back to work. Literally, many IT professionals, they live like that. They don't see outside the office for days. Horrible life. So even people who want to be spiritually inclined, because in modern society, the name of progress, we have to work so much, there's no time. And even if you do get time, you're so exhausted and drained that there's no energy for that. So Srila Prabhupada recommended that there be rural communities in which people can live peacefully. Don't work more than we need to. See what are our necessities. Our necessities are food, clothing, and shelter. That's the physical necessities. By the grace of God, these can be produced in most places in the world, and especially in India. India is a very rich country. The most of the country, especially Karnataka, is very good land. The climate is such that it can produce ample food. It's not for no reason that so many people came and invaded or tried to invade this country, because it's a very rich country. So people can live simply and cultivate higher consciousness by studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, and leading a saintly life. So recently, after an inordinate delay of about 30 years, some of our devotees here in India have started such projects. I just came from, 2 days ago, I was in Hebri, which is in Udupi district. Just outside Hebri, we have a pilot farm project like this. And present with us now is Madhav Gopinath Prabhu. Where is he? He's here? Not here? Didn't come? Couldn't find the place? He's outside? He came here. But he's not showing his face now. Anyway, his wife's here. Him and his wife. They were both IT professionals working in the USA. Came back to India, and then now they've started with just outside Hyderabad, this farm project, living very simply, protecting cows, growing their own food, and chanting Hare Krishna. So we're doing this in several places. Alongside with that, gurukuls. Nowadays there are many gurukuls. What they're called gurukuls, it's just the name is gurukul, but the curriculum is the same as any other school. But we're starting gurukuls in which from the beginning children are trained that human life is meant for God realization, the most important purpose. We had one gurukul student. They're all running away. Where is he? You saw him. He was playing the mridanga like that. He's a gurukul student. So we want to train these boys in ideal character and in the spiritual knowledge of Bhagavad Gita so that they can give spiritual guidance to society. There are so many people are trained as computer engineers, electrical engineers, chemical engineers, marine engineers, ecological engineers, this engineer, that engineer, doctors and businessmen. And someone told me recently that some parents now, they don't want to send their children for education, higher education. They say, what's the point? Just become a politician. Better. You get lots of money without having to work or do anything. Anyway. In Karnataka, you know very well all about this. All of India. Actually, it's all over the world, but somehow or other they found out in India earlier that politics means corruption. Politician means, there may be some good ones, but mostly it means they're liars, that's all. They don't care for the people, they care for themselves. So we want to train at least some people should be so ideal in their character and with a clear understanding of spiritual knowledge to give guidance to human society, because that is lacking. There's lacking of proper spiritual guidance. There are many people who grow beards and talk of peace and love and people adulate them as gurus, but they have no clear knowledge of any spiritual teachings, and their main purpose seems to that people will glorify them, that they become famous as big gurus and saintly people. But an actual saintly person should glorify Krishna. And that's why Srila Prabhupada became so successful all over the world. He didn't promote himself. He promoted Krishna. He wasn't interested in self-promotion. He wanted to give people the actual knowledge of Bhagavad Gita by which they could be benefited, not to cheat people in the name of Bhagavad Gita. So, sometimes our ISKCON is misunderstood to be another kind of welfare organization. Actually, it is a welfare organization, but we want to benefit people not simply on the bodily platform, nor on the mental platform, but on the spiritual platform, which means to understand that ultimately we have no relationship with this material world, that our real existence is in the Satchidananda spiritual world, and that this human life is meant for performing that sadhana by which we can become free from the imprisonment in this material world and can attain a position of permanent bliss, which is possible only in the service of Krishna. So these are, of course, I can only give a summary here. So if anyone would like to ask any questions about this, you might please do so for the sake of clarification. There are many things to say. It can't all be said in a few moments. We have many books here in which Srila Prabhupada outlines this ancient wisdom for modern man, especially this Bhagavad Gita as it is the foundational book of spiritual knowledge. Recently you may have seen that came in a court case in Russia. In one city in Russia, they wanted to ban the Bhagavad Gita as a terrorist book. Fortunately, that case got thrown out. But it shows that the distribution of Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada all over the world, that it's having its impact. That some people don't like it means that it's having its impact. Yes, please. Hare Krishna. What are the benefits of attending Mangalarti every day? Well, most people here probably don't know what you mean by Mangalarti. Mangalarti, actually, in Gauriya Vaishnav culture, Mangalarti specifically means that which is in the early morning, in the Brahma Muhurta. And in much of South India, every arati is called Mangalarti because it's Mangala. The benefits of attending the Mangalarti is that Krishna, when we're specifically talking about arati for Krishna, Krishna becomes pleased. And when Krishna is pleased with us, then our life is perfect. So people, they generally like to go to have an arati ceremony performed, and they pray for some benefit. Oh God, please help me pass my exam. Oh God, please help me to get a job. Oh God, please help me to cure my disease. But the real benefit of attending an arati or of bhakti is when we don't pray for such things, but we simply pray, Hey Bhagavan, proceed to me. May you be pleased with me. May I act in such a manner that you be pleased with me. When we pray like that, that is Shuddha Bhakti, without any personal motivation. Krishna becomes pleased, then we become fully pleased, and that is actually Mangal. To attend an arati or any ceremony and to pray for something for our own petty material existence, that is not actually Mangal, that is not actually auspicious. It's like praying that, oh God, I'm locked up in the prison, every day they're beating me with an iron rod. Please ask them to beat me with a golden rod. That's not intelligent. The real intelligence should be that let me get out of this situation so that I can serve you properly. So praying for material benefits is not intelligent and it's not auspicious. Mangala is translated as auspicious. Don't pray what he can do for us. Just pray how we can serve him. Hare Krishna. Can we spread this message using modern media? Yes, we can, should, and we do. Just like I'm saying, we don't need vehicles, but I came here by a vehicle. So you may think that's hypocritical. But it's something like the logic of getting the handle of the axe is made of wood, and the axe is used to cut the wood. So as we're in this modern society, and to communicate within the modern society, we can use Facebook also. I don't use Facebook because I looked at it once and I thought it was too stupid. So I just saw the word awesome and I never looked at it ever again. But it can be used. Phones can be used. But then all these things can be used properly, but generally they become an encumbrance in our life. Just like we think it's convenient to have a phone, but it's more of a nuisance than a convenience. So all these things can be used. Actually, we should keep all the airplanes and the cars and the microphones for the preachers of Krishna consciousness only. Everyone else is misusing it. Everyone is misusing it otherwise. Yes, please.
This audience activity has shown in background of you.
Hare Krishna.
What happens if everybody gives up their vocation?
If everyone gives up their vocation. This term vocation was originally meant a religious calling. Now it's used for becoming a shopkeeper or something like this. What would happen if everyone gave it up? Well, it's a theoretical question because everyone's not going to give it up.
No, I have not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hypothetically speaking, if a real person gives up their vocation, their work, and so on, what happens to this world? People have to go, they have to pursue their materialistic. You need.
No, but that we're not saying that everyone should stop working. We're saying that people can live simply and work to produce their necessities rather than producing artificial so-called necessities. We're not saying that everyone stops work. That in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says that, what is it? Nahi kasyat chanamapi jatu tishchatya karma krit. One cannot stop working even for a moment. He says that sharira yatra pichate na prasidhyata karmanaha. That one cannot go through life, one cannot maintain the body without some work. So we're not saying to stop work, but we're saying too that work should not be excessive for the sake of producing more and more things that we don't need. But we should work as much as we need and devote the rest of the time for spiritual uplift. I can't hear what you're saying either. Yeah, elderly people feel lonely, especially elderly people, because in modern society there's so much emphasis on me, 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 I should enjoy, and elderly people are a burden, like children, but children are cute and elderly people aren't. So children give sense gratification. When you tickle them, they go, ah! But elderly people are just a burden. So people don't like to look after elderly people. Their duty to look after the elderly people, they don't want to do that. All of this can be solved by going back to the traditional culture, in which it's part of dharma. And people traditionally, they didn't even think not to do so. That elderly people... No, no one's following dharma. So we are proposing a reversion to a society which is based on dharma. But this, the way the modern society is set up, it's a consumer society in which more and more objects have to be produced all the time. Therefore, advertising is required to make people want to buy them. Just like Coca-Cola, no one would, unless it was advertised, no one would ever want to buy it. It has no practical value, doesn't taste good. The last time I tasted it was about 40 years ago. I doubt if it got any better since. And it has no food value. No one would buy it unless it was advertised. But it is advertised profusely and it is sold profusely. So like that with so many things. Just like fashions, fashion clothes. A desire for that is produced by advertisement. So this kind of propaganda, the consumer society requires people to be selfish. Me, 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 what can I get more for myself? And therefore, elderly people are neglected. And gradually everyone gets neglected. That we find in the... increasingly here in India also, that... women, they don't want to get married. If they get married, they don't want to have children. And even if they have children, they don't want to look after them because they're too busy working at a job. So from the beginning, even children are neglected, or people don't even want to have children because they're too busy. My own career, I have to push on my career. So everyone suffers by... making up myself the center of everything, we become lonely and we suffer. We see a wow. We see that. I can say myself. One of my sisters, she never married. She had, even before I left home, she had more boyfriends than I could count and she could count. Now she's old. Who will care for her now? She never had a steady relationship with anyone. She never had a fixed home. She never had children. She lived for herself. And now she's, like so many people, suffering. Old people in the modern age suffer so much. Most people in the West, we think, oh, the West is so wonderful. But most people in the West, they spend their last years in an old person's home, just waiting to die with other old, rejected people, because they can't produce, they can't give anything to society because they're too old to work. So they're just put in some home and people just hope they die as soon as possible. And that's coming more and more, that the idea of euthanasia, where people are old, just kill them, that's all. Humanely, with an injection or a pill, but kill them because they can't produce anything. That idea is being promoted gradually. So, yeah, it's a very imbalanced and sinful society. Whereas previously, old people, they were valued for their wisdom and what they could give, the what spiritual teachings that they'd cultivated their, throughout their life they could give. But nowadays, people grow up without any spiritual knowledge. They grow up without wisdom. They spend all their life watching TV. Then what have they got to offer to anyone? Yes, so, is someone who's going to ask a question? I can hear the sound, but I can't see where it's coming from. Ah, I was looking everywhere else, but not here. Yes.
If Achyut Dhamma can be achieved on a foundation of Dharma, and this can lead to moksha, what is wrong with
it? If what?
If Achyut Dhamma.
If Artha and Karma
can be achieved on a Dharmic foundation.
On the platform of Dharma. Could you give an example of running a business on dharmic principles?
That means earn profit, but do not profit yet.
Earn profit,
I see. Courses, but at a reasonable rate, what can be considered?
Are you a businessman, sir?
No, I am a retired engineer.
I see. Well, what would other businessmen think about that?
No, for example, like,
I'm asking, what would other businessmen think about that?
There are many people who are now thinking how to bring spirituality in business.
Yeah.
As you rightly said, we cannot change the world within a day.
Yeah.
But once we become aware, as you rightly said, we can slowly change. A lot of people are in business now, bringing spirituality in business, and it's improving.
From what I understand from speaking to many people, the modern business world is a cutthroat world. And unless you work on the cutthroat basis, you're not going to be able to do business at all. So that business is not proscribed in Vedic culture. We find the Vaishya community in Bhagavad Gita says, Krishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam. So Vanija, or trade, that is the duty of the Vaishyas. That is specifically, yeah, it should be based on Dharma. It is Artha based on Dharma. That doesn't in and of itself lead to moksha. That requires coming up to a higher level of consciousness. So business is not rejected in Vedic culture, but as you say, it should be on the basis of Dharma. What I was trying to point out in this lecture is that the whole basis of modern society is not Dharma, but it's karma. And karma here in the worst sense. So it's very difficult to promote business in an atmosphere, a dharmic kind of business, in an atmosphere which is dominated by a lower level of consciousness. So, yeah, there's no harm in, we're not saying that business should be stopped. But again, in the modern world, the basis of business, because it's based on paper money, or it's cheating is built in. The whole modern economic system is based on imaginary money. Just like in Britain, they have £1, the term £1, which is a unit of currency. So originally, that £1 meant the £1 note, they don't have notes anymore, they have coins. That was supposed to be, you're able to trade that for £1, which is about 400 grams of gold. People had gold, and they'd keep it with a banker, and they'd have a note that this paper is worth £1. He has given me £1 of gold, and then you could trade that. It's as good as £1 of gold. But when paper money got delinked from that which is of actual value, and bankers can just produce, or the governments can just produce notes, which has no basis, there's nothing of value behind it, then cheating became built into the system. So that people are working for money, and every moment they have the money, the value of it is decreasing. So there's falsity built into the system of paper money. So that's another thing Srila Prabhupada recommended, to stop paper money, because it just breeds cheating. Let this gentleman has the mic. You please take it later, and you please ask. Thank you for asking so many questions.
I'm not going to ask a question, maybe it's from Shiva talk, but whatever has been said so far. The whole thing, at one shot, I think the solution can be found with Prabhupada, because you are living in a world. The world, the material world, as you rightly said. So what I have found is, the basic reason is, even within feminism, whatever I have seen, the sense of competition, because today the buzzword is killer instincts, win at any cost. But I have seen, even in small school children, parents come to school to check for even a small discrepancy. There's a 1 mark difference or 2 mark difference, they take a big fight. And see that how can my child get such a role model? You have to do it. The child wants all this. Somehow a hook or crook, they see to it that the child gets a particular number, whether it is worth or not. But this kind of fierce competition brings about that animality, it develops an animality in a child which is either to the normal child. This develops, and at a later stage, it pervades the entire sphere of this working. And I think this is what is leading to exploitation, more exploitation. And no values whatsoever. There is no caring, there is no sharing, there is no loving. Whatever that is going on under the guise of these names are nothing but expecting something back. That's what I can say.
And ironically, the parents who push the children to become successes, then the children have become so interested in their own self and pushing themselves ahead that they forget their parents when they become older. So therefore we want this Gurukul, where children can be trained from the very beginning in a whole better consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Yeah, please.
I feel that recognizing karma is one of the toughest things in life. Is there any way that we can recognize karma of each and every situation in life? You come across so many things.
Adharma.
Yes. You really don't know what is karma and what is not.
Yeah, that's a fact.
The
whole world is full of adharma. How to establish dharma? It seems impossible. Yes, it's Kali Yuga, and Kali Yuga is full of adharma. There is an easy way, which Vyasadev has given, Bhagavan has given. That is Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasceva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Simply by our own efforts to try and put everything in order, it seems like an impossible task. But by the grace of Krishna, if we chant his holy names, we will get this. He will give us this spiritual strength, he will give us the mercy, by which at least we ourselves individually can lead a proper life, and gradually as more and more take to it, then others will also want to do so. So you're all, presumably, having come here, interested in a dharmic life and a better life. So this verse which I quoted means that in Kali Yuga there is no other way, no other way, no other way but Harina, chanting the names of Krishna. So that brings us to full circle. I think we can chant Hare Krishna for a little time and finish up the program. And then we can have a few words. And there's prasadam, I hope, for everyone. That's also very important. Spiritual food. Not everyone can appreciate so much philosophy, but everyone can appreciate spiritual food. So we'll have that also. Hare Krishna. Madhukanta, do you want to lead the kirtan? My